Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The first thing they did when we saw them was take their shirts off. But like, spoiler alert, Ryan has beautiful eyes also.
He's very dreamy.
Yeah, let's just move on. He's a lovely man.
I knew what it was going to look like on TV. It's like, oh, that girl can't hold a flag.
I lose everything.
Oh my God.
I used to think you were a bleep, but then I got to know you and then I liked you.
That. Sorry, I just realized my boobs were hanging out. Sorry.
So what sounds to you like a horny 40-something-year-old woman...
Let's move on, please.
So when you have a nervous breakdown, you get really horny? Always interrupt me when your boobs are hanging out. Always.
To be honest, I thought I'd find Kim and Penn more annoying. Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. Kim has told me I get a little too excited sometimes for the openings of these things, so I'm going to be very smooth.
To set the mood.
Yeah. Well, hey, welcome to the Holderness Family Podcast, special Amazing Race Edition, Episode 4.
Love you, baby. Listening to us where you normally get your podcast, thank you so much to... Wow. Words are hard for subscribing.
It's early. And we had a late night last night.
And if you're watching us on our YouTube vlog channel, thank you so much. We really enjoy putting these together and giving you our experience behind the scenes and telling, you know, some things maybe you didn't see.
Yeah. So we're going over episode 4 of season 33 of The Amazing Race. It was, again, this is one of the other times that we're going to say it was an historic episode because it was a restart after a 19-month layoff because of COVID. And it's where really you guys were able to see how they were going to finish this up, because that was such a big question, right? How are they going to do this?
We got a lot of questions. First, let's talk about our mood going into this.
Yeah.
You only saw me cry twice last night, guys. The Holderness Family cry counter, because I joked at some point they should put like a cry counter.
Wait, you realize Sam is going to do that for us now. We have a fantastic editor who just put the cry counter up. Where are we now?
I cried in the first episode. Now we're at three. They're showing.
Good.
There's more, guys. Two things can be true when it comes to emotions. It's kind of our family motto. Of course we wanted to go back, of course, but there was so much in that time in particular that made it hard for so many of us. In watching these, and maybe people who have been on The Amazing Race before can sympathize, it literally transports me back to that moment and what we were feeling.
Also, like where we were in the world, because that's a different answer, it seems like, every week, right?
Right.
Where are we with COVID, right?
I think my grandmother was dying when we took off. So another thing that I think people, thank you so much for watching the show. If you've never watched before, I hope you love it. But you have no cell phones, so you have no contact with your family. And I had to call my grandmother and have a very real conversation. And unlike other people, She wasn't like, go off and win it for me. She's like, I don't think you should go.
Meemaw.
So she did pass away, but I was able to be with her when we got back. I was shortly after we got back, but the whole time I was like, what am I doing? I mean, she was like a second mom to me. And what am I doing? I'm gallivanting across the world. And no one is more COVID conscious than us. Both of Penn's parents live in assisted living because of Alzheimer's and dementia.
Just a quick stat that I quoted to The Amazing Race when they first reached out to us. And the first time when we said no, I said, do you guys know that in North Carolina, I'm not sure what it's like in your state, but for the first like 4 or 5 months, half of the people who died from COVID, half were in assisted living. So,
And so we've always been very careful and very respectful. So the plan in place was a really solid one from The Amazing Race. But as a mom, I'm leaving feeling safe, nervous, but safe. But what happens if our kids get COVID? My mom was taking care of my grandmother. So we had like friends and sitters taking care of the kids. What happened if they get COVID? So like the stress of the pandemic was very real for us. So I think showing up to that starting line, which again, for me, as somebody with anxiety, was the hardest part of showing up.
A victory for you to get to the starting
line.
And
we had to do it again.
Yeah.
I was really nervous.
Yeah. And there were a lot of tweets last night. We're going to be weaving these in. WZDMB fan asking, why are they not wearing masks? So great question. I think you have to really dissect and look at this episode very closely. Even from the very first moment, you saw how far apart we were. Mm-hmm. However, we tested every other day. We were all required to be vaccinated to get back there. And anytime it was just the racers around, we didn't wear masks. If you kept watching the show, there were moments when we were actually in locations with people who weren't part of the race, like going up on the gondola, we were wearing masks. So they were careful.
Yeah. And I think this was also a moment in time. I think now we were watching this through the lens of the Omicron variant, which even outside is very highly transmissible.
Right.
But we were traveling in a time when even the CDC said, well, if you're vaccinated, you can go inside without a mask. So there was that really narrow window of time
but
where
we still didn't do that.
We didn't really do that. So no one is more COVID conscious than we are, I have to say. The benefit of this was we did fly private.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that. Actually, we can get to that right now. You guys saw that like a quick shot of the jet, right?
We called it Big Phil. and I think it was a really unique opportunity, too, on The Amazing Race to get to know the other racers in a really... I mean, you're on a plane for a really long time and you're sitting around each other and talking the whole time. Whereas when we were flying over, say, for the first leg, we were on a flight with Raquel and Caleb, but they were 20 rows ahead of us. So it was a really cool opportunity to get to know everybody.
Yeah. Well, on one of the flights, I got to sit next to Mo and Michael. And by the way, they're joining us later on.
Yes.
I got to sit there and listen to Mo talk about being a Buffalo cop in the middle of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. It was like the most unique perspective you will ever hear from somebody about that time of year. And it, like, those are the kind of conversations that you get to have. They had nothing to do with the race. And it was great getting to know those guys on the chat.
Okay. So let's get started.
Yes.
We're back. And this was a more traditional start line. Before, we kind of started from our house, and this, we were just toe-to-toe lined up with these amazing humans.
Everyone had improved themselves. I think they talked about that a little bit, but I mean, Michael came back and I didn't know if it was possible because, by the way, I'm sure, spoiler alert, Michael, Mo, Arun, and Natalia all came back because four of the teams didn't make it. Oh my God. Michael was so gigantic.
And because before we could meet them, we couldn't just see them. And I just called him Thor.
Yeah.
He is a massive human being. We are going to talk to him. And he had since become a professional bodybuilder.
Right.
And we didn't get younger. Okay.
No.
We didn't get younger.
Well, you heard Dusty and Ryan saying they got to spend time working on their bodies and, you know, really kind of improving. I know Dusty now. Dusty sells, Dusty is a sales person. He works out of his home and he's doing so well with his company that he had a ton of time to just be super fit. The first thing they did when we saw them was take their shirts off.
Oh my gosh, there's so many shirtless.
Within about 15 seconds, their shirts were off. And honestly, I would have taken my shirts off if I were those guys.
I mean,
holy crap.
I didn't mind it.
No one minded it. I can appreciate the male body, but seriously, they were so ripped.
Speaking of Ryan and Dusty, I have to say, season 33 of The Amazing Race wins for most cast members having recap podcasts. So thank you for watching us, but you must check out Lulu and Lala have been recapping, mm-hmm. and I love that you guys get to know them and see them. They were like fighting like sisters in the first episode, and people, whatever, it's a reality show, right? But they are so loving, made me jealous, made me want a twin sister being around them.
Mm. Kayla and Dusty.
Kayla and Dusty, who are on different teams. So that's like a really cool perspective. Like, they just started a recap, the Pit Stop podcast. And then Arun and Natalia actually did I don't know if they are going to keep that going, but they were answering a lot of questions. So make sure to check those out as well. So I think we have the most, our season has the most recap podcast by contestants, and I love it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we're at the starting line.
Okay.
We're at the starting line, and Phil gives us some information. We get to learn about all of the other racers and what's been going on. They didn't put ours in there because it was boring.
So boring.
We were like, we sat in our room
and sang songs and helped our kids with online school.
Yeah, and didn't really
do anything else. I'm so glad they cut it out.
Yeah, it was way boring.
Yeah.
All right, so ready, set, go. They make us run through this tiny little tunnel, which it was like a cattle chute or whatever. And there was a pole in the middle of this tiny tunnel that they didn't show that everyone almost hit. I don't know how we all got out without, it was the right height where if I hit it, it was going to damage vital organs for me. But we got past it.
And so we were supposed to find this three yellow buses in front of a museum, and they were in sort of the town center. This is something else also for this version of The Amazing Race. In past versions, on the airplane, you're flying over, you can get information, you can go to the airport and find a map. There was none of that. In fact, when they flew us, they didn't even tell us where we were going. And of course, we saw the Swiss flag when we landed, but we were on an airplane not even knowing where we were going. So they take you to a town and you don't have access to any of that stuff. We saw everybody go left. And I was like, let's go right. I was like, I'm not going to follow those people. We actually did stop and got some quick directions, and then we got there pretty straight away.
Yeah, it was probably about a 200-300 yard run. It was interesting. I want to talk.
More than that.
Was it? You know what? It always is more than you think it is.
I think it was probably a quarter of a mile.
So 400 yards. So Kim, we were out there running, and I want to bring this up before we get too far into it. The super fans of the race may have noticed that people packed a little bit differently. Some people packed the same. So there's a guy from season, I think, 27, Justin, who does Kim got me onto his podcast.
Racers Recap. That's another great recap. It's by racers, and they do a great job.
If you ever want to be on the race, that's the one that you watch, because there's like so much inside information, and it's four great former racers who talk about it. But Justin, I follow him on Twitter. I think he must have tweeted 15 times, why is everyone bringing two packs? You had a chance to go home. This is the hill that Justin's going to die on.
He's going to die on this.
Is that why do you need this much stuff when you get through the race? And so I have a couple of responses to it. One response is, I think he's right. Time we get there, we have too much stuff, right?
So I will say, when we came back from the first time, I literally put my backpack. We have like this old, his grandparents' old trunk in our room. I just put it in, completely
dropped it
like a time capsule.
Right. And so some clothes were still in there, right?
Clothes, everything.
Yeah.
So I took it out. Like it was like dusty. And I took out all of our winter stuff because we were traveling in September this time. And that winter stuff was super bulky. I wanted to bring a pack, and I think I got my pack down to 8 pounds.
You got a smaller pack, right? Didn't you bring a smaller pack?
And it looks bigger because it's it was like full of air. So I didn't, I had my coat strapped to it. Again, we could have, he didn't really feel the need to pack too much lighter because on the Amazing Race, you have to stay within 20 feet, 20 yards of your partner because you have to be in the same shot. He is so fast. And I am not slow, but I'm a normal human woman.
Yeah.
And so he could basically speed walk and I'm...
Right.
Yeah.
Also think about this. If I am by myself, it's a roadblock. And if it's a roadblock, you don't bring your backpack with you. Item number two, we knew we were going to be self-driving a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? So where do you keep your backpack
yeah.
a lot of times? You basically have a car. Item number three, I lose everything.
Oh my God.
I actually, on
the first leg here, he lost a pair of sunglasses and a hat.
Which is why I brought two hats. No, I lost both hats, didn't I?
You did.
And three pairs of sunglasses. And I had one when we were done. They're not going to show this in the race because it's boring. If it had all been in one backpack, there's 100% chance I would have lost all of everyone's stuff. So, which is why, I mean, Kim, it's your job, and we're going to talk about this more. It's your job to keep me together on this race, and you.
So let me just say, selfishly, I wanted to carry my own stuff because I wanted to keep my stuff.
Yeah, but I did carry some of your
and
stuff.
And well, if you guys are interested in like what we packed, we can do that at one point in time.
Sure.
But we did pack. I mean, you're going to see the same sort of clothes.
Yeah. Let's get going. So we are on the yellow bus up the mountain to Santis, and there are compression points. We call them compression points at the race where everyone kind of ends up together again. And there were several compression points in this episode.
So us making it to the first bus didn't really help us. We sprint up and we find the clue box at the top. We ride this massive gondola. We're all on there together. Like, love you, but I wanted to beat you. And then we're sprinting. And me carrying a backpack or not, I'm not going to beat Ryan and Dusty. Ryan and Dusty and Raquel and Kayla, like Lulu Lala, they're so fast that they could have 50-pound packs and still beat me. And again, I'm not the solo person. So everybody gets to the clue box around the same time within, you know, 20 seconds of each other.
But then they make you go in order. Yeah.
And they made us go in order of the time we ripped the clue. So by the time we get situated to rip it, we were fifth.
Yeah.
And we knew coming up, we saw people kind of climbing this mountain. So we figured that's what it would be. He is, you know, very fast and very goat-like. So it was a no-brainer. And I had done the previous, I mean, it had been 19 months.
Right.
But we'd done the previous rover. And I will say this, they did tell us that roadblocks start over.
They reset
at zero. So
when she says that, she means there are limits to how many roadblocks one person can take.
Right. So we were starting at zero. This was going to be very physical. He was going to do it. It was beautiful up there. It was stunning. And I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to really enjoy it. And I want to say, though, watching you go out fifth, I'm like, well, that was my fault. Like, if he had a faster partner, he could have, you know, been out a lot faster. Because you couldn't pass, like, on the way down, he was behind other teams and he couldn't get in front of them.
This was a different type of fifth place, though. This was, when we started, it went one, and then about 30 seconds later, the next one came. So I was only a couple of minutes out of first place.
Right.
So, yeah, the climb starts. We'll talk a little bit about some of the other racers here. So Ryan, it's so funny. They had like all these GoPro shots of his calves. Everyone noticed them. They don't make any sense. I love the onion bag reference.
The bowling ball and an onion bag.
Bowling ball and an onion bag reference that Dusty had. Dusty has such colorful language. I can't wait to hear more about what he has to say as the race goes on. But I mean, he really, Ryan is very fast. He's young and he has spent a lot of time working out and everyone noticed his calves, including like Phil.
It was a topic of conversation everywhere. Like
Phil has great calves too, by the way.
Beautiful calves.
Yeah.
My friend texted me. She's like, is that man doing this in his underwear? Because the way his shorts.
One inch inseams? Yeah, dude. Ryan's like, he's like, what kind of inseam do you want in these shorts? He's like, what do you mean inseam? I don't want an inseam. I want to wear boxer briefs on The Amazing Race.
If I had quads like that, I'd be dressed like that.
Absolutely.
Too.
Honestly, they may have been like my shorts, but his muscles were pushing them up his leg so that it looked like Hanes underwear. Also, spoiler alert, Ryan has beautiful eyes also.
He's very dreamy.
Yeah, let's just move on. He's a lovely man. So is Dusty.
Yeah. I'm perched from above, and it looks really terrifying, and I'm so glad I didn't do it. At 8,000 feet, he has asthma. I'm really worried about him. And then I see his little helmet passing people. And this is where my daughter had to leave the room. Because I said something like, oh, I'm so attracted to him right now. It's so hot. Like, I was like, oh my God, that's my baby. I'm so proud of you. And I was doing like, I said something like, I'm a sure thing. My daughter left the room.
She left. So you, it's Kim has been struggling with her language on this race because she said stuff like, you're so hot right now. I'm a sure thing. She's kissed me like several times on the race, and the race makes sure to, you know, get still shots of those. So I'm sure you're looking at one right now. But so here, can I give a theory on that? I was thinking about that this morning.
Oh, by the way, I'm not like,
I know you're not.
No, I'm like,
you're loving,
I'm not like a total bee, but that is not my first go-to in terms of like how we communicate in real life.
Right. And that's what I was thinking about though. Okay. You ready for this?
I'm ready
for some truth bombs?
Truth bombs.
It's not your love language, but you know that it's mine.
Yeah.
You know that personal affirmation and physical touch are the two dominant love languages for what gets me going. You know what my love languages are.
Mm-hmm.
And I need them to move forward. I don't know if this was like something that you were doing like consciously or subconsciously, but you knew that I needed that.
Sorry, I just realized my boobs were hanging out. Sorry.
I mean, you were just a Lothario at this point. I think that you were doing that for me. I think you were encouraging me and you were doing the things that I needed. I think whether it was consciously or subconsciously, you were doing that. And I think we did that for each other on this race at times when it was really important. So what sounds to you like a horny 40-something-year-old woman, I think was you like getting in contact with my love language. And it's not like we stopped what we were doing and did it. Like we kept racing, but what you
did. There was a lot of quarantine. I will say this.
You were helping me with that. And I appreciated it. I want to tell you, like, every time you say something like that, I know it embarrasses you, but it makes me feel great. Even like right now when I hear that, and it made me feel great when I was out there. So thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm. You're really sweet and you're giving me a lot of credit. I was having a nervous breakdown and that's like, I needed that too.
So when you have a nervous breakdown, you get really horny.
Let's move on, please. Anyway.
Oh, no,
not yet. Not ready for that.
I brought a prop.
We have a prop. So it looked really scary. Was it like, you were running down and I was like, if I were there, I would have been like, ooh, slow down. You're going to break an ankle, because if you break an ankle, we're out.
Yeah. So my guide couldn't keep up with me, which is not a normal thing.
He had to switch guides because Penn is like, I can pass some people, and the guy needed a break. And Penn said, no breaks. So they had to switch out guides.
Not my idea, but they switched me with Mo's guide. You'll notice it was a different guide on the way up. And because Mo said he's going a little slower, but he was also like, why'd you leave me with that guy? What had happened was on the way down, the shoes were kind of like ski boots, right? They had very strong ankle supports on them. And I just started going. I was like, I think I can pass Raquel here. Not realizing how fast Raquel was. I had to go really fast to pass her. And I got to a certain point where I was not in full control of my body. But when I'm going down a hill, like normally, when we're jogging right out there, I have knees that don't let me stop or else they'll just fall off my body. So I have to just remain on the same pace until I get to a place that's not a hill.
You killed it.
It's like a truck with no brakes. And so we got a lot of tweets about like being worried about me falling. I was worried about me falling, but I did. Yeah, I was pretty fast. And then going up the hill, we had trained so much, Kim and I, with weights going up and down stairs. I'm so glad we did that because I felt comfortable.
So somebody tweeted watching The Amazing Race, no major spoilers for the race, but I think Penn Holderness is actual real life Dominic the Donkey.
Who is Dominic the Donkey?
Dominic the Donkey. Like, oh.
Not helping, but okay. Just keep going.
So Lynn G tweeted, these people scaling the mountain like goats, I'd be Sherry. Can we say, and I will find time to applaud her, Sherry rocked this. So imagine being afraid of heights and the air is very thin, yeah. which is something like as I'm sitting on the couch, you forget. And so just standing there is pretty exhausting. And to physically exert yourself, overcoming a fear, I wanted to like wrap her and hug her. And I think you'll notice that, and people have asked us about this, is like, could you talk to people in the 19 months? We had some time in Glasgow to really get to know each other.
Yeah, a lot of the time was when we were trying to get back to the States.
Right. So there was, and so we have each other's phone numbers. And so when we first got back, and especially those first few weeks when we were kind of texting each other saying like, can you believe we were on the Amazing Race 2 weeks ago and now we can't leave our house? So there's a lot of that. We didn't follow anybody on social media because there were pictures of us out there. And if you went deep into the fan sites, like you could see that we were on it. We were getting some messages saying, hey, I saw you were on this race. Is it true? We just ignored those. But yeah, people talked. And I think some more than others, but
Yeah. So I think one other point to that is that we did have time while we were trying to get back to the States to sit with Akbar and Sherry. Mm-hmm. And we got to know them in particular. They were like right next to us. And I think we could relate to them because we were, you know, both parents of kids who were, you know, pseudo similar ages. And so I like we both feel like a connection with them. So when I saw Sherry on my way back up, because this was the one lane highway, I had to like unclip and get past her. I had a couple of minutes with her. She had kind of a wild look in her eyes. Like, you know, that it's that yeah. look where I don't know if I'm going to make it all the way down. So when I saw that, they didn't finish, you know, last, I thought like that was the most badass thing that she's ever done. Cause I know how hard it was for her.
Yeah.
It was hard for anybody.
And I think that coming in, so the first leg, if this was the first leg, I think we'd been like, yeah, there's another team back there. We beat them. But this time it was like, oh God, Sherry's still back there. You know? So yeah. I think there was like a different, we all still wanted to win. Everybody wanted to win, but I think there's like, you know, somebody's heart a little more. Okay. So we get, let's move on. So we get out of there, thanks to Penn, second. And we run up, we see Ryan and Dusty still waiting there. They had just missed that gondola and it comes like every 20, 25 minutes.
Compression points. So another We're talking about compression points.
Another compression points. Frustrating because he had just kicked butt and like everybody except for Sherry had made that gondola. Here's where something, the only reason I think we were able to finish well in this leg, because it was all so many compression points, is on the way up, we're on that yellow bus, I spotted
seven cars
that looked identical. I was like, oh, we're driving back down. And I was taking notes on the way up. You see me with my little notebook of things we were passing.
Are you guys noticing a pattern here with Kim and her notebook?
So I was like, okay, we took a left to get into here. We have to take a right out. And like, so I was doing directions in reverse on the way out. And I told Penn, I'm like, on our way out, grab the farthest car, grab the one closest to the exit. So we're running and everybody's jumping into the first car they see. And Mike and Mo jumped into the first car. We were right behind them. The cars behind us, I think Ryan and Dusty got by, but their cars behind us, like Lulu, Lala, Raquel and Kayla, those guys,
they got in a traffic jam.
There was a traffic jam. Yeah. Like somebody. And so that is why we got to the clue like 20 minutes before them.
Right. It was Michael and Mo, me and you, Ryan and Dusty. We had like a really big advantage just by getting in those cars. Ryan and Dusty, the reason, you know why they got by? They are so freaking fast. And it became obvious to everyone. And I don't know if it was as obvious the first time we were on the race because everyone was sort of spread out. It was a different format and everyone was compressed for this one. I realized very quickly that if it ever comes down to any sort of sprinting or running or anything, in their sleep, they could blow by anybody. They were incredibly fast. So they got in that lead pack too.
Yeah. So I was really proud of us kind of getting out in front. I didn't see any other cars coming down the hill and the options. So it's detour. Detour, for those of you who are new to the race, you as a team pick between one or two things. Okay. So it was toss it or punch it. Right. And the way we read the clue and the way it was written for the punch it, you have to build this belt. And I could visualize what they were talking about, those kind of stamped belts with those medallions on it. It said, if you mess up, there's limited supplies. And if you mess up, you have to start all over again with your existing supplies. So I figured it would be very tiny little things.
You also, we got flashbacks from when they said limited supplies and like start over. We got flashbacks from that first challenge when like, if you messed up that piece of paper in that puzzle,
yeah,
you were done.
And so that's the way the clue was written is like, if you screw up, if every team had done that, well, there wouldn't have been enough stations for everybody. You were basically screwed because if they didn't have enough supplies to give you, you were screwed. So we're like, we trust each other. Like physically the flag thing seemed like a color guard. I was never in color guard, but I was like, how hard could it be? It's choreography.
Well, in particular, we got there. So first of all, we went into a basketball gym and you heard me.
Like, oh, basketball.
I was so excited. I'm like, yes, basketball.
Clue mentioned nothing about basketball.
It's so funny because I don't know that I would have had an advantage because Akbar played college basketball. Michael played basketball overseas.
And if you needed me to do anything, I would have been.
Ryan's a good basketball player. Although, like literally there were thousands of good basketball players.
Because there have been basketball things on this race before. I play basketball with my son and literally we would practice things like, okay, he would be like, okay, mom, this is for $1 million. I have to make this basket. And of course he'd go flying. So
it was not basketball.
I'm glad that they spent a little time on this and I'm glad they showed Ryan and Dusty considering switching because
which we didn't know, by the way.
I know.
Because we were like, let's also say we were in communication with them. We were kind of working together to try to learn it because we were right next to each other. We were talking out loud.
Like, okay, you do this, that. I mean, we wanted to win, but I needed to process out loud. So I was like saying things. I'm glad they show how hard it was. It was left arm dominant. He's a lefty.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I texted everybody last night when we were watching. I was like, your flags were shorter. They weren't shorter. Everybody had the same freaking flags. I'm just a weakling. And I think that we did have about like a 15-20 minute advantage over Lulu Lala, Raquel Kayla. Thank God. And the teachers don't teach you anything. They're just doing it.
No,
they don't talk. So I'd ask like, hey, so I'm seeing here your flag is not touching the ground.
Don't talk to the judge.
Yeah, like your flag's not touching the ground. Is
don't
that important?
Talk to
yeah.
the judge.
So I'm 5'4", and the flag, I felt like it was probably 4.5 feet. And you had to, with my left hand, get it between your legs and twirl it.
Yeah.
And then not touch the ground.
It was flags can be heavy, right?
It got heavy.
Yeah, like no, I thought it was pretty heavy.
It got really heavy. And I felt like there was like some physics and geometry of like, I'm 5'4". I am not going to be able to, I'm the shortest one, I felt like. And there's no way I was going to get that between my legs and like twirl it. And I'm glad they showed that it was hard. I must say Lulu and Lala though, I felt like they said they practiced a lot before they tried it. They made it look like they had flags to practice in the year and a half. Like they made it, they were just like, and they weren't even talking. They're like that twin telepathy.
Yeah, I was going to say that has to be part of it. I have no idea if they were even doing it right, but I'm sure they looked impressive doing it in perfect.
Oh, they were doing 100%
sync,
right.
Because that's just them. They finish each other's sentences. So you get to know them and you know which is which. And they are very, very unique women and they're very different. But when communication and performance happens, it's like two of them are out there.
We were kind of playing chicken with Ryan and Dusty without saying it. Neither one of us wanted to go first because I feel like, in a judged task, which by the way, we wanted to avoid judged tasks.
They never let the first one go.
They never let the first one go.
Yeah.
Although they let Lulu Lala go. I mean, they let them go. I mean, because they did it perfectly. But so we were like, who's going to go first? Who's going to go first? So another thing is, if there was a judged task, we were just going to keep getting, keep asking for checks.
Right. My theory is if you can do it as many times as possible and you're not having to go to the back of a line, which was not the case for us. If you got it, like if there are people waiting and you got it wrong, there's someone else who'd have to come in. My theory is like, don't be a perfectionist about this and stay longer than you have to.
So we tried it. I think we obviously screwed it up. I think the first time we did it was the best I could possibly do. And I was like, oh, and we didn't get it. And I was like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to do this again. And then the second time I just like stepped on the flag.
Right. Oh, and when you stepped, wait, I gotta bring in my prop. Are you ready for my prop?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So this is my favorite part of the Amazing
this
Race.
This is an inside piece of information on the Amazing, it's not really an inside piece. So if you watch the show, they've had the same sound effects for 20 years. And they become really funny. I'm sure they could be a drinking game if you wanted to do that, but you would get quite soused. Whenever something goes wrong, there's two noises they make. One of them is we call the demented pan, which is like ding, 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 ding. And the other one is a slasher. Like when I fell, it's like, shoo. And Penn Charles and I, just for the heck of it one night, because we had nothing else to do, we're trying to find like what they use for that sound effect. And I found it.
So when we screwed up the first time,
yeah,
like you hear this.
So when you fall here, this is a, okay. If you're just listening to the podcast, you don't see it. This is the strainer, the steamer. Like it's the steamer pot with the holes in it. I tried a regular pot. It didn't make the same noise. A steamer with holes in it is the correct noise. A spoon is the correct striking object. And you can use this for both sound effects. So when you fall, you put the spoon in and you just swish it around in the bottom, right? So, oh no, Penn Charles fell. Okay. Hang on. That
better,
was it right there?
Better,
right there? Okay,
better.
So that's it. And then the other one is just three quick hits higher to lower.
Yeah, so when you screw up, they go, no, no, no.
So Kim like steps on the flag. Just in case you're wondering. It's a multi-million dollar show, and I'm pretty sure they used someone's strainer from their kitchen. Moving on.
Okay, so you see me have a little bit of a moment. Because,
well, I mean, talk more about that, because it was more than a little bit of a moment. Like it was, that had to be tough for you.
Well, my arm was shaking, so I felt like physically I didn't know how to do this, and it felt like I knew what it was going to look like on TV. It's like, oh, that girl can't hold a flag. So, and then I was really aware of like what all we went through to be there. Our daughter had just started high school and we left. Our son was starting middle school and we left. All those things of like what we did to get there, and me not being able to twirl a flag was going to get us out. And physically it was hard. I'm glad they showed how hard it was, because it was hard. And let's also just say baseline, anything you do on this race is just heightened. I think you know, making a cup of coffee, if you're in a competition with somebody else and there's cameras in your face, everything is more stressful.
Yeah.
So we get it. Yay. And again, I looked like I was about to cry.
Well, you told me when we were doing it, you said on the last one, you said, this may be the last one I can do.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I know when Kim is in pain, because she does something that nobody else does. She smiles, and it's this smile. She did it when she was giving birth. She like,
I don't
seriously.
Know. I think that's just like such a female response, that like when I did triathlon and all that, like all my race photos are like, and yeah, like, you look so happy. No, I'm in pain. That's my pain face.
I bet you there's a picture of it. And if there's not, go back. And if you have it on TiVo, go back and watch the moment.
You just said TiVo.
Oh,
people,
yeah.
Who's the oldest one in the race?
Go open up your newspaper and see if there's a photograph. And if not that, maybe I'll send you a telegram about where you can get one. Morse code. No, she was smiling. You can look at it. And I know that smile. She smiles when she's in a lot of pain. And, you know, before that last go, do you not remember saying like,
boobs are hanging out. Sorry.
That's not a problem.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, always interrupt me when your boobs are hanging out. Always.
So we get it. And they have an hour show, but it's with commercials. It's like 42 minutes or something. So they can't show this, that self-drive really is a task of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw people get turned around. We left there a couple minutes behind Ryan and Dusty, and they are sending us to smaller, less populated places. And it was a Sunday, and in Europe, or maybe this town, like life shuts down and you don't go anywhere. So there was nobody out and about. And so we found
this, talk to.
We found this lovely woman who spoke
some,
she didn't speak any English, but she was very kind. And I found her, like, she could circle it on a map. And so I think we went a little out of the way to find civilization to get, you know, directions so that, yeah.
On the way to Altstetten, which was the pit stop, I think we had about a 30 minute detour that we went in the wrong direction. And then we looked at, you know, everyone always kind of rehashes it afterward. I think it was 5 or 10 minutes.
I think it was like a 5 minute like blip. We just went looking for directions in the wrong direction.
But the finish.
So, yeah.
It was close.
Yeah, it was, despite us taking this turn, Ryan and Dusty definitely beat us.
Yeah.
But you could see we came in from like the other direction because that's just how we got there. Navigation, I think, up until this point had been a strong suit. So it was a little shaky that I kind of turned us around a little bit, but they didn't show it's fine.
Well, let me jump in here. So navigation, you did well. The signs,
they're on the side of the building.
They don't have the signs like they do in the United States where the nice little cross and they have the road names. They're on little plaques in the building and they're not in a uniform spot.
And I will say that's what these towns look like. It's something out of a picture.
It was beautiful.
I mean, there's a reason they're more beautiful. I mean, we have these really well-marked streets in the U.S. and they make it just like part of the architecture.
Yeah.
So like Penn's saying, like it's on the side of a building and a gold plaque here. And then here it's a white thing down on the ground. Yeah. So like the street signs are a little wonky. So I'll say this, you go on Paramount Plus to watch this. The thumbnail for this episode, you see Natalia with what looks like a giant cabbage, right? Mm-hmm. And they sent out press photos and you see Mike and Mo and Arun and Natalia in front of these in a field and with giant cabbage balls. Because these two teams were brought in, they had to do what's called a speed bump. And in previous seasons, if there's a non-elimination leg, you would have to complete an extra task. And so their extra task, so when they left the belt thing, they were given, their clue was to, they had an extra task before they hit the pit stop.
Michael and Mo, Arun and Natalia, and just them.
Just them. Yeah. And because of time, it's impossible to show everything on this race. They didn't show that, but there are photos of it. I was really hoping to see it because it sounded like
crazy.
A lot of fun.
Apparently Michael and Mo rocked it too.
Yeah. But I think they'll have to talk about that. But I think it was navigating from there that became such a problem for them. And that's why it didn't go their way, Michael and Mo. And I have to say, they handled it so beautifully again, which just must have been so devastating for them.
And if you stand by, they're going to be here. So it's you will see us dressed differently because we're filming this on Thursday morning, and this was Wednesday night. We got to talk to them just as the race got done, which is, I mean, you get a real unique perspective from somebody right after the race is over.
So literally, I am almost in bed because it airs from 9 to 10 where we live. And I like to be in bed at 9:30.
This is not, so Kim is 9:30.
I'll be in bed by 9.
Yeah.
But then I like to read and then
watch TikTok. But read.
Yeah. So we are going to have Michael and Mo on and we're going to get to them in just a second because they're just joyful human beings. I need to read some tweets.
Yes.
So believe me, we don't go scouring the internet looking for our names. We don't. But our good friend Anne Marie, I told her to find some funny ones and she did. Sneakers 1957.
I haven't read this. Okay. No, go ahead. I just haven't seen this. This is really funny. Go ahead, read it. This is great.
Oh my God. The internet singer guy reminds me of the guy who sat next to me at Broadway series season tickets I paid $200 for. He sang every word of every song of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh my God.
So he doesn't do that. We love Broadway, but you don't sing out loud.
I think that's a really good metaphor.
You kind of do seem like you would do that.
I remind myself of this, and this is funny. Would you please keep these comments coming? I want these kinds of
comments. I know.
Comments.
And then this is another one that we got a couple times. Sharon Tharp said, to be honest, I thought I'd find Kim and Penn more annoying, but I'm happy to say I was wrong, and they're quite impressive with their interesting set of skills.
That is. That's a backhand.
I get it. Like you see,
that's a backhanded compliment.
You see, I get it. Like
I do too.
We present life in these 3 minute like jazz hand chunks.
Yeah.
And it's 3 minutes out of our day. And it's mostly us and it's not our kids.
We're not on the Amazing Race. We're not uncomfortable ever. We're showing the best, like
a highlight reel of what the day is. And I get it. Like, I have trouble.
You can't watch yourself.
I don't like watching. And so that's why watching this is really, I get really nervous watching the race because I don't enjoy watching myself. But when I do stumble across our videos, I'm like, oh, those people are terrible. I'm like, oh, wait, that's me. So I totally get it.
The greatest compliment I will ever receive is, I used to think you were a bleep, but then I got to know you, and then I liked you.
Oh my gosh, remember that one time we were at...
One time, there's quite a few, but what do you got?
PC was playing soccer. He was probably like five years old.
This is great.
And five or six. And
he, this is great.
And Charles, he has an older sister who he worships. So he admires girls and like he sees them as their contemporary. He was on a co-ed soccer team, and he was literally the only boy that would pass to the girls, the only boy. And so, because he wanted everybody to score, and this is not something, he's such a good kid.
I mean, we're still mad at him for like keeping us up all night.
Oh my God.
Last night
looking
for his practice jersey. But go ahead. Yeah.
Oh my God.
good kid.
He's such a, and it was nothing we told him to do. He just was very aware that the girls on the team weren't getting the ball, so he would pass. So this girl mom came up to me. So she's like, your son is so sweet, and he is always passing the ball to my daughter, and I really appreciate you. I just love watching your videos. And her son goes,
this is so great.
No, you don't. You hate them. You never let us watch them. She's like, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, right. They're kind of, I'm like, no, I totally get it.
The girl was like, no, you misunderstood me. And the kid's like, no, I didn't.
Not.
No, you clearly said that. And we're like, I like you, little guy.
I know. I was like, it's fine. She's like, but you know what I mean, right? I'm like, totally.
Yes.
I get it.
Listen, our videos are like, they are a snapshot of our lives. They are a little chuggy, right? Because
chuggy's a word we learned.
I am that guy. I'm the guy at Broadway. Like, I get really excited about music and dance.
But he doesn't sing along. So
I don't sing along. I probably would mouth the words, right?
I sat next to you during 20 musicals. You've never mouthed a word.
I feel like during Hamilton, I was at least like,
no, you weren't.
I was grooving for sure. That's
grooving. You're
send you a telegram.
Okay.
It's the first forward pass I've ever seen in a football game. Okay.
What was that?
Just like back then, they didn't pass the ball. They just handed it off, and they had leather helmets, which is why they're all struggling with dementia. That's another podcast. All right. So thank you, Sharon.
We're going to introduce Mo Badger, Mike Norwood. They, as you saw on last night's race, they were an eliminated team. I did not think they were going to have an elimination. I thought last night was going to, or I thought when we line up to race, I was like,
it was going to be a setup.
It was going to be a setup. There's going to be a non-elimination, because why would you do that to somebody? And to be honest, Mike and Mo are so joyful and such lovely humans, and I think they handled it so well. We didn't really get into the minutia of what went wrong, because I think they're going to be interviewed in a lot of other race podcasts where they're going to get that. I wanted to share the microphone with them so you get to know them as humans and what they have going on. And I just feel really lucky that we get to know them and to be on the planet at the same time they are.
Well, let's change clothes and let's talk to Michael and Mo. You can put something on with a little bit less.
I know, but it's not wearing a bra. Sorry.
For those of you watching this, we've changed outfits because this is being recorded right after the end of episode 4 of season 33 of The Amazing Race. And this is our first guest. And here's what we wanted to do. Not only get a chance to talk to Michael and Mo a little bit about the race, but also we want you guys to get to know them better, because we got to know them a little more behind the scenes, and they are fantastic and they've got a great story. So guys, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
First of all, we know you as the Singing Cops. Can you give everybody your backstory?
I'll let you go ahead and start, Mo.
We both grew up in church. Our dads are, you know, big parts of our community, big community leaders. I grew up singing. I don't even know if Mike kind of rapped and things like that. I didn't know he could sing. And one day we were playing basketball. Mike played overseas, a bunch of other things like that. We both played high school basketball, been playing basketball with each other for years. And he just busts out a note. And I'm like, and I look, and I'm like, yo, what is that? And he's like, nothing. I'm like, no, Mike, like, that was crazy. He just hit a note. Like, I can't hit. What is that? And, you know, and the rest, go ahead, Mike.
No, I mean, you know, the story has been told. Like, I honestly was a legendary shower singer. You know, performed in many showers across the country. But yeah, like that's how it started, though. Like I said, Mo, our dads grew up together, so it was very interesting to see. Like, I came on a job first, and then Mo wound up getting on a couple years later, and then the next thing you know, we wound up becoming partners with each other, and it was just like, wow, like Buffalo really is small. Here we are. Now we're partners, and then it's like that connection that we had with each other was just genuine and very unique. And, you know, one thing about us is we're not like militant type of police officers or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we just love to have fun with people. And it's really ironic that the same thing that, you know, basically got us here, even talking to you guys, is the same thing that we just basically always did on a day-to-day basis. We just love to have fun with people. And the next thing you know, someone happened to get it on camera, and then a video went viral, and, you know, from Ellen to other different TV shows to now The Amazing Race. Yeah. Like, here we are.
Also, y'all sung the national anthem for the final game of the regular season for the Buffalo Bills. And we got to look at that Twitter video, and the crowd went bonkers. That had to feel great.
Oh man, you talking about sending chills up your body? First of all, it was freezing outside.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Chill number one. What are y'all doing living in Buffalo, by the way?
Because Buffalo's amazing.
I know it's great. I know it's great. It's just so cold.
but yeah, I mean, it honestly, to you know, Buffalo fans, like we call them the Bills Mafia, they are something else. To be down on that field and to hear that roar, it literally is bone chilling.
Yeah.
You know, to just have that type of love. And I mean, this is an amazing opportunity for us.
I think people are just tougher in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I just think they're just built different in Buffalo. I am just a big wimp when it comes to that. Okay. You guys mentioned this at the end of the show, and we're going to get talking to like what you guys have going on now, which is very exciting, but we'll talk about the show a little bit. What was it like watching this episode as opposed to the first episode? What was that like?
For me, I was proud this episode. Like, I think that they missed out a lot of stuff, but you know, just to hear Mike, you know, when I'm almost, you know, in tears, I'm so scared on a mountain, and he's cheering me on, Mo, you got it, Mo, come on, you can do it, come on, Mo. And I'm just like, here I come. Yeah. And throughout the whole thing, and for us to be finished that, you know, from I've never literally been in a mountain before. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah.
That to and be in first place for even that little bit of time we could say we're in first place of an amazing race at one point. So, you know, that was amazing. And just to see, you know, how we work together. I mean, a lot of that, you know, just, you know, like even the other tasks that we had to do that, you know, we worked together and really, you know, kind of got through it, man. It was just amazing to remember all those good memories.
Yeah.
A very, very amazing opportunity. You know, for me, it was kind of a very tough situation coming back on the show because, like, literally a week prior to us coming back, you know, my grandmother was in the hospital and they were pulling the plug. You know, while we were on the show, like, I was missing my grandmother's funeral. Yep. You know, so for me, I didn't know, you know, how I would be able to handle this. But it's funny, like my dad always used to say something. He said, you know, son, sometimes there's a victory and a loss. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think the victory is, you know, I know my grandmother would have definitely wanted me to definitely come out there and to do the race no matter what. I mean, like, it was to the point where, like, my mom, everybody, they had to force me to go. I said, I can't miss my grandmother's funeral. Right. They said, listen, you would make your grandmother mad if you do not go, and at least go have fun, you know? So I can honestly say that we had an amazing time. Yeah. I felt like, especially being up on that mountain, I feel like she was there with us. And, you know, we just had, like Mo said, it didn't sting as bad as the first one. You know, I think that, you know, we did the best that we could, but we had fun. It was a lot more fun this go around right here.
Definitely.
So guys, when the race started and we were all sitting there at St. Gallen, that beautiful church behind us, and the sun was coming up, and Phil got a chance to kind of talk to everybody about what was going on. They didn't have, obviously, look, it's a 40-minute show. They don't have time for all this. But I was stunned they didn't talk about Michael's bit, because we were all, you know, we hadn't really seen you. We're like, did he get bigger? Is it possible that he got bigger? Because he was already humongous. And so Phil tees him up. And then Michael tells us that he is now a competitive bodybuilder, which is crazy. And I can't wait to hear like how that goes for you. But at least it explained why you were seven times my size.
It looked like you brought another person. I was like, that's a team of
like
three.
You added
it is
an
not
extra
fair.
Mo somewhere in your body.
Not for real.
Like somewhere. Yeah. Sorry, Mo. You knew it was coming.
Man, you know what? It's funny. Like, so the first time when we were coming to the show, like I was like really, really heavy. So I remember them telling me, they said, listen, you got to get down like under 250 because there's some tasks that's on the show where you may not make the weight limit. So for me, I was, and this is like going back to when we first started filming, what, in 2020. So I was just focused on basically just losing weight as fast as I could. I think I wound up coming on the show at like 230 something. So then obviously COVID kicked in and, you know, we all went through that time frame where the gyms were closed and stuff like that. But in the back of my mind, I always kept telling myself for years, man, I really want to get back into competing again. I want to try men's physique. I never tried it before. So last year I said, you know what? I'm tired of talking about this. I'm just going to do it. And if anything, I can prove something to myself at the age of 35 that I can still, you know, really push myself. Cause this is, it's very like bodybuilding is incredibly hard. It takes a ton of discipline to sit there and eat seven meals a day to train, put your body through all this craziness though. So we wound up doing that. We wound up turning pro. We became an IFBB pro bodybuilder. It's funny. Like now I'm actually, and Mo might tell you, I'm actually like a lot bigger now than when you guys last see me.
Crazy.
You can get bigger.
No, he's definitely bigger.
What?
So when you guys saw me, I was like 240. So I had just came back from competing.
God, dude, you're like, so freaking ripped. I'm telling you, like, this doesn't make sense to me that you're now bigger than you were before.
Listen to how much he weighs now, Finn. Listen to this.
So when you guys see me, I was low 240s. Now I weigh 275.
And it's all muscle, right?
All right. So I'm like 30 pounds in.
People were wondering, they're like, why? The producers were like, but Kim, why are you intimidated to be here? Like, I'm like, that. And because they didn't like
Thor over
Thor.
There.
Yeah. It's like Thor. That the audience doesn't get to know. And it's a TV show. So they want these relationships to develop on camera. So we don't really get to, or this is like pre-COVID, we didn't get to know anybody really. So our nicknames for you were like, it was just Thor. And we were like, oh, Thor over there. Jesus.
I had a nickname for y'all too. Mike, what was the nickname?
What was it?
All my children. you know what's crazy? I swear.
Stop it.
For that first year, I really honestly say, listen, dude, I seen them on All My Children. I'm telling you, they're actors. I've seen it before. You're not going to tell me that you're not. I know what I'm talking about.
We thought Ryan and Dusty were rowers.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ryan had been in prison for 10 years. What did we?
Well, different from rowing.
Well, we knew Anthony and Spencer were.
Right.
Penn, so I don't know if you remember, it was during our auditions and we were sitting out at the pool. And you like gave us a wink, like, I know you guys, the singing cops.
Yes.
And we were like,
yeah. Yeah, no, so everybody, I just assumed, I was like, we were miscast because
everybody else was on Ellen. We watch Ellen and we're like, there's the singing cops. There's the train heroes. There's Akbar and Sherry. Yeah. Like
everybody had just been on Ellen.
Right. I think they just waited outside Ellen.
Yeah.
And just
just to cast people.
All right. So we're talking about things that we talk about behind the scenes. And, you know, I don't know how much we can and can't talk about. One thing I do want to say is that when we were on that jet one time, I got a few hours to talk to Mo because I was curious. These are Buffalo cops that we met once. Then we went home. Then we came back. In between, Black Lives Matter happens. You guys are black cops in Buffalo. And I know that was a momentous occasion for you, and you shared some of your thoughts with me. I wonder if you could share them with everybody now.
Yeah, that was one of the toughest times of our lives, you know. Even for me to see my partner, who was part of the ERT team, you know, at that time on the front lines and really, you know, being ridiculed and being talked about and being, you know, almost spat upon, you know, all these other things, and just praying that, you know, he was going to make it out okay. You know what I mean? I remember one night he was up on Bailey, and this wound up being a historic night. And I drove my car. So I'm like, babe, I'm just going to go and check on the guys and, you know, just try to, you know, stop some of these kids that are throwing rocks and, you know, just, and I'm in my civilian's clothes. And I'm like, you know, let me just see, you know, the community knows me, you know, let me see, can I help out, you know, help the guys out that are on the front lines. Before I even got to get out my car, like three bricks got thrown at my car, like literally. And I'm driving my own personal car. Boom, boom. I was like, but that was the type of night. I mean, Mike will tell you more about that night, but I mean, these were some of the most trying times as a police officer, because there was nothing you could do right. There was like anything, like, I mean, they were just, you know, post after post. Where are the singing cops? Why aren't the singing cops helping? Where are they at? You know, and we're doing all we can, you know, to, you know, bring our community together. But, you know, at that time was just, you know, really, when you say, you know, this is a thankless job, it was really a thankless job at that time.
It was it was definitely incredibly tough time. Like that night Mo was talking about, you were shot at. Like literally somebody was like shooting at our line. I watched cars, things being set on fire. You know, for me, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, I never had thought that I would live see the day where, you know, we're living in this time. You know, and for us, like, I think one of the hardest parts was, you know, we always basically try to show a lot of love and try to show the opposite side of policing than what most are used to. So, and, you know, especially now looking back, we understand that, hey, at the time, it was so many different negative stories that you were hearing about police officers that over time, we get it. It's probably going to weigh in on people's minds. So, you know, you have to really be a rational thinker to literally sit there and say, hey, well, I know all police officers are not like this. But I feel like it was so overwhelming for people that we even got caught up in the mix where people were like, oh, man, you guys are sellout. You guys are this and that. So it was like it was a transition from, man, everybody is showing us love and we love you guys, to, man, you guys are just like everybody else. I'm like, what do you mean? We're not. No, we're not. People didn't want to hear that, but we just knew that, hey, you know what? Here's a time where now is when you really have to show people something different. Like I always say, as police officers, the only way that you would change the perception of how we are viewed, it starts with us. Mm-hmm. When you put on that uniform and you go out and to engage the community, and you walk into a store or something, say hello. You know, because already the uniform is intimidating, mm-hmm. and you have a gun on your hip. So now when you walk into a location, if you have, especially this demeanor that you may have on your face, people don't know how to perceive you. Mm-hmm. The only thing that they may say was, hey, he fits right into that stereotype of what I've seen on TV. But a simple, hey, how you doing, sir? Yep. Hey, how's it going, man? That can go a very long way. You know, though. So I live by that, and we've been living that by that our entire careers. You know, treat people the same way that we want to be treated, the way our parents want to be treated, our friends. And, you know, we live by that, and we're going to live by that for the rest of our careers.
You know, it was crazy because we had, like, you know, they were doing all these protests, and I wind up going to one of the protests. You know, we are all able to, you know, kind of get on one knee, and we said a prayer. And afterwards, you know, I sung a terrible rendition of We Shall Overcome. Kind of went viral.
I doubt it. I bet it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
No, really. It was like, I don't know what was wrong with my voice that day. But, you know, it was, but I really felt like regardless what we're going through, we'll beat this. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I think we're, you know, we're seeing a turn, and, you know, we see people beginning to appreciate what we do. I mean, you look at the Bills game, like literally, you know, just to see the love that they have for us, knowing who we are and what we stand for. And they, you know, literally gave us a rousing ovation. The players ran up to us like we were somebody, you know, mm-hmm. slapping us up and, you know, like bumping us, you know. So, you know, to go, you know, a 180 degree turn so far from that, that just showed that, you know, we will overcome one day, and, you know, change is going to come, and we're still expecting more change, and we're going to continue to be part of the change. Sure.
I think between Mike losing your grandmother and what you guys endured during the blip, as I call it, probably puts things in perspective. The Amazing Race is an incredible opportunity, but it's an opportunity. It's not, you know, so I think what you guys said on the finish line was just so beautiful, and you seemed really grateful, and we are grateful that we know you and can call you friends.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed the time that they were there. I enjoyed getting to know them. My favorite story that I'll have of them was there's waiting that goes on in the Amazing Race. There's hours of waiting. You're traveling. It's understandable. So we were all in a room waiting to get on a plane one time. And everybody was pretty tired. And we're bored. There's no TVs. Nobody has any phones. And then Michael and Mo just started playing Gin. Was it Hearts?
I think it was. It was Tonk.
Talk. Everyone just stopped what they're doing and watched y'all play cards because you were
throwing cards at each other.
Funny. amount of smack talk that happens when you guys play cards, it was like, and I hadn't been entertained for several days.
I know. It was like, oh, look, TV.
Right.
In English. Let's watch.
Y'all were our television for like an hour. And I mean, no one, you know, people like, anyone was going to say be quiet because it was so entertaining and everyone wanted to watch it. And just the joy that you guys have, but also just how well you clearly know each other, and that has to come from years and years of trusting each other with your life.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And on a side note, you know what's funny is that day when they brought them pizza, nobody probably knew this. I counted. I actually had 26 slices of pizza.
Michael, and now you're eating like chicken and sweet potatoes.
Oh my gosh.
26
you have to follow him on Instagram to like see his. It's like chicken and rice. I'm like, oh.
Chicken, rice, broccoli, all this. I was like, man, because you got to think, like, I had went an entire, oh my God, probably 7-8 months of just eating clean. So I was just coming off doing my show. So now I'm like, man, I can eat what I want to eat now. And pizza's my favorite food. And yeah. It kept bringing them pizzas in it. I was like, I was already in the corner.
And he was stacking.
So, oh my
so
God.
How people didn't know he was stacking them. He eating them like one piece, but it would be two.
So you had 13 double slices of stuffed pizzas. Wait a minute.
What would happen to like my... Oh my gosh.
It's a good thing they didn't have an eating challenge. They would have won by like lot.
Oh my gosh.
There was no way I was doing that challenge. Mike was doing that challenge.
Listen, you give me some pizza, we can go to town.
I am so sad that the people who watch this race won't get to know you further, but you guys do have a lot going on. We'll put your social media handles and stuff like that. What else do you, you guys have some other important stuff happening. What's going on?
So, obviously, you know, with my fitness stuff, I'm actually getting ready now to make my pro debut soon. I'm going to be competing June 4th in the Toronto Super Pro.
That's awesome.
Thank you. I'm really excited about that. Hopefully, if we win, we get to go to the most prestige show in the world, the Olympia. Same thing that Arnold Schwarzenegger competed in.
I've heard of that. That's incredible.
Yeah. I think from, a TV standpoint, I know I would definitely love to get in like the fitness commercials or anything else fitness related. Yeah. I think me and Mo both would really love to get into some acting. We've always said,
man, so good.
We wish we could just get into an opportunity where we could be ourselves on camera and just act.
Yeah. It's called YouTube.
You know,
it's called YouTube.
Yeah.
I know. It's so hard.
No, you're right. I mean, it's just like, it's hard to start. You know, I'm like, where do you start at? Like,
it's a slog.
See you guys, and it's like, they're here. Like, how do you get there? You know what I'm saying? I want to get there, but how do you get there?
And we're not even like there at all. All I will say to anybody who asks,
just do it
because you're going to make mistakes. It's going to be terrible. The lighting, look, even tonight, like the lighting is kind of wonky.
Kim's not happy with the lighting.
Well, I also haven't showered, but I would say that just start. And it'll look different a year from now than it does right now. But whether that's like a podcast or a blog or an Instagram channel, just start posting.
I would say start, be yourselves. You both have like powerful messages, but you're also really funny. It's kind of like a perfect combo. When I heard you talking about your responsibility as a member of the police force of, following the golden rule and treating others as you're supposed to be treated, that's a really important message that you could tell the kids, adults, anybody. You don't have to hit people on the head with it, but it could be that little center, that little central dot of what makes you guys you, and then just have fun around it, which is what you already did.
So you're saying you're going to come on our podcast?
Of course.
1,000%.
Yeah.
When are we doing it?
Of course.
Of course.
Do you have a podcast?
You should start a podcast.
We have to start.
Yeah, you got to start a podcast and then we'll come on your podcast.
And then we'll be on your podcast. 1,000%
Oh yeah.
It would be a joy.
Yeah. you know, I even talked to Mo. I said, you know, Mo, I know we joked about it before. I said, but man, maybe we should like put out a book to kind of just talk about our experiences and how singing basically changed the way of how people view police.
Amen.
I think it's such an important conversation, and definitely one that's like, it needs a bigger platform than the one we have, and it needs more discussion, but it's something that I know you guys are working so hard on, because it's so complicated.
It is past your bedtime, baby.
Well, it is, but I have to say, I love you guys so
much. Yes, absolutely.
And it is like, I love that we can call you friends, and
no doubt.
Yeah, as soon as you get your podcast, call me.
I tell you like this, like, first of all, we appreciate you guys big time. We even look up to you. You know, both of you have a ton of wisdom.
Comes with age.
Ton of energy. You know, like we always say, you know, we love to be around people who have good auras about them, though. And like, literally the energy that you guys give off together as a connection, like, you could definitely tell you two were made for each other. Mm-hmm. And is this, and just being around you two is like, literally, how could you not have fun? Like when I sit there, I watch you guys' videos, like, I'm at home crying, like laughing though. But it's just that positive energy. So, you know, we're just excited to even be talking to you guys right now. It's a huge opportunity for us, you know, though. So, and this is actually probably one of the first podcast that we might have actually even really been on, though.
No, seriously. Together.
Your debut. Sure.
You did
your
great. Debut. You guys did great. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you soon. This is not the end for us. And
you're not getting rid of us, guys.
And again, Kim.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Kim popped up all your socials. I'm hoping that during this, our editor, Sam, found some like pictures of you guys, some video of you guys, maybe some oiled up, like, you know, flexes from for Michael.
Can we use
really
those
nice
Instagram pictures as you're talking? I mean,
yeah. So y'all send us those when you get off of this, because we're like, you know, this is a visual medium as well, and we'd love to share that.
And I just feel like there's so much luck that happens in the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
But I want to point out something that you and I, like our two teams did. We're coming out of that like gondola thing. The two of us, and we spotted the cars on the way in, and I was like, head to the last car. It's going to be the first one out. So we just run to the, you guys actually beat us to the first car. And that's why we were in the second car. And the rest of them
got in a traffic jam.
The rest of them got in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
And so the two of us were up front, because I was like, we got to get out first, head towards the end. So you guys were smart. You guys were strategic thinkers. You were very smart. We had
some
bad luck.
So. And the roads are impossible to read in Switzerland. I'm sorry. I could not read a dang road. They were on the side of the buildings instead of in the middle of the street. So
beautiful country.
Yeah, beautiful country. I'd love to move there, but I don't want
I want to live there, but I
want somebody to drive me
around.
I
want a GPS from there. Okay.
You definitely need a GPS.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.